Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, we love getting into complex source material, but today we're looking at something else entirely.
Something that really challenges the whole operating system of modern society.
It's a massive framework, a full system rewrite, really, that claims things like chronic disease, climate vulnerability, and even economic instability.
Are actually just different expressions of one single fundamental problem.
It's a huge claim. We're doing a deep dive into the Intrinsic Health Charter, a 2025 document from physician scientist Dr. Bechara Saheli.
And it was synthesized, which is key, in collaboration with advanced AI systems. We're talking ChatGPT 5.1 Notebook LM. The sheer scale of data they pulled together is just staggering.
And the mission here is, I mean, it's revolutionary.
It's a total pivot.
Right. The charter proposes that we shift governance entirely. Stop focusing on treating disease after it's already there. Stop chasing GDP.
And start focusing instead on preserving the fundamental biological capacity of living systems.
From the cellular level.
All the way up to civilization. That's the pivot point. For centuries, our sciences have been pathology first.
Okay, what does that mean? Pathology first.
We built this incredibly sophisticated science of disease. We can diagnose, categorize, and treat breakage remarkably well.
Sure.
But we failed to build a unified formal science of health itself as a measurable capacity. The charter argues that's why we find ourselves, simultaneously high-performing and incredibly fragile.
Okay, so let's unpack that foundational science, starting with the core concept. Intrinsic health, IH. Scientifically speaking, what is this capacity?
So intrinsic health is the latent integrated regulatory capacity of any living system.
Any living system, so an individual, a community.
An ecosystem, a society. It's the capacity to adapt, to recover, and to sustain function over long periods of time.
So think of it less like current
performance. And
performance.
more like the depth of your reserve tank. It's the margin of safety, the potential you have left for when the inevitable shock hits.
That immediately clarifies a crucial distinction the charter makes between latent and realized health.
Yes.
I think of it like my car. I know it can go 120 miles per hour, that's latent. But right now I'm stuck in traffic going 5. That's my realized output.
That's a perfect analogy. Intrinsic health is that maximum reserve, the engine's potential. Realized health is the 5 miles per hour you're actually driving.
And that's influenced by the context, the traffic jam.
Exactly. The road, the maintenance. And crucially, the charter notes that high performance, high realized health, can be temporarily extracted from a system where the latent capacity, the IH, is actually declining.
Right, like an Olympic athlete pushing through a stress fracture.
They look healthy, they look high performing.
Right up until the point of catastrophic failure.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense. So, if IH is this foundational reserve, what are its actual biological building blocks? The charter mentions three substrates.
They identify three that have to be maintained in dynamic coherence. First is energy. This is mitochondrial and systemic energetics. If you don't have enough clean, flexible energy, if your cells are running a massive deficit, regulation is simply impossible.
It's the operating cost. You can't run the software without the electricity.
Precisely. Second is communication, signal coherence.
Meaning.
When a system is under chronic stress, your neuroendocrine and immune systems, they start firing wildly. The stress signal just becomes background noise.
So the parts can't talk to each other.
And if they can't communicate, they can't coordinate recovery.
And the third substrate.
Third is structure, the physical organization that enables energy and communication to flow.
And here's where the charter makes a fascinating jump, right? It goes from organ architecture all the way to things like housing and infrastructure.
Because IH is scale invariant. That's the key.
How does that map a human liver in a neighborhood street?
At the micro level, the structure of your liver has to be intact for detoxification to work. That's energy and communication.
Okay, makes sense.
At the macro level, if your housing structure is toxic, moldy, unstable, noisy, it actively prevents your body from performing recovery. The physical design of our world either buffers recovery or it amplifies load. Structure matters at every single level.
And these three substrates, they express themselves through four essential capacities that determine survivability.
Yes, the four dimensions of IH. First up is resilience.
The quick snap back.
That's it. The ability to absorb an acute shock, a fever, a market crash, and restore coherence fast.
And the second one is plasticity.
This is the deeper capacity. the ability to reorganize structure and function under sustained chronic change.
That distinction is powerful. So resilience is weathering one storm.
And plasticity is learning to live on the moon.
Wow. Okay, what are the other two?
The third is functional realization. That's the ability to actually translate all that latent capacity into a dignified, capable life. And critically, the fourth is sustainability.
So preserving that reserve over time.
Across generational time. And this is maybe the Charter's most chilling finding, that our current civilization frequently prioritizes that short-term functional realization at the direct expense of resilience and sustainability.
Which brings us squarely to the civilizational diagnosis. If we're extracting short-term function at the cost of long-term capacity, how does the Charter redefine the problem we all face?
It forces us to reimagine stress. I mean, completely. Stress isn't a feeling. It's a quantifiable regulatory load.
A load.
When you face a stressor, financial, environmental, whatever, your body initiates allostasis.
Stability through change.
Right. You raise your blood pressure, pump out hormones, and allostatic load is the cumulative cost of that, the wear and tear from being constantly activated.
So it's like leaving 100 tabs open on your computer.
Perfect. The machine is still running, but it's struggling. It's hot. It's slow.
And this load concept, it's the only way to really understand the modern health crisis.
The explosion in multimorbidity, absolutely.
Yeah, people aren't just getting one disease anymore. They have diabetes, plus hypertension, plus anxiety.
Multimorbidity is the clinical signature of system exhaustion. The Charter says these are not discrete diseases. They're different surface expressions of a single unified failure.
Jizz.
Multi-system regulatory exhaustion driven by chronic unbuffered load. Your system, running a deficit on energy and coherence, just starts failing in different ways depending on your genetic weak points.
So the disease names are just labels for where the system finally broke.
Where the erosion became undeniable. Yes.
This is where the fundamental reversal of causation comes in, and this is truly radical. We have always assumed that growth leads to health.
And the Charter flips that completely. It argues that model is a self-inflicted wound. The deeper truth is that intrinsic health leads to durable function and sustainable growth.
So any growth that isn't connected to recovery
is just deferred collapse. Look at any major industry. A company demands unsustainable hours, it maximizes profit for a decade, and then collapses under lawsuits, burnout, environmental cleanup.
Was that ever really growth?
No. It was extraction followed by inevitable and much higher repair costs.
And the Charter pinpoints where this extraction is most visible in the economy.
Labor is identified as the primary extraction interface. We maximize short-term output, we minimize guaranteed recovery time, and we externalize all that physiological wear onto the individual.
And then there's poverty.
Which is brutally reframed. It's not just a lack of resources. It's a malignant time structure.
A malignant time structure. What does that actually look like on a Tuesday?
It means you are forced into constant crisis management. You are denied the time for fundamental biological recovery.
No time to shop for healthy food. No time for quality sleep.
Right, because you're working two jobs or managing logistical chaos. You can't plan beyond the next 48 hours. And since recovery is biologically non-negotiable for replenishing IH.
Denying the time for it makes decay inevitable.
Mathematically certain. You are trapped in an accelerating loop of biological debt.
Which brings us back to the big scoreboard of the global economy, GDP.
The GDP paradox. GDP is a throughput metric. It measures transaction velocity, not durability.
It counts the cost of cleaning up a disaster.
But it ignores the adaptive capacity we lost in the disaster.
Yeah.
So you get this paradox where GDP is rising while population intrinsic health things like early onset multimorbidity, mental distress, is accelerating toward decline.
We're confusing the speed of the car with the health of the engine.
We're confusing the speed of the transaction with the solvency of the system.
So if the system is biologically insolvent, the Charter demands a new architecture for governance.
A new architecture based on IH as a universal systems law.
What does that mean, a universal law?
It means intrinsic health is a scale invariant law. The principles that keep a cell viable are the same principles that keep a society viable.
So political economy operates inside biological law, not outside it.
Exactly. And the Charter argues IH must become a first-order governance variable, a protected public trust, a justiciable legal right even.
Meaning future generations can sue us for depleting their reserves.
They have a right to the adaptive capacity we inherit today, yes.
But how do you enforce biological law on, say, a trade agreement? This sounds like you need brand new tools.
You need biological due diligence.
Yeah.
And that's the Intrinsic Health Impact Assessment, the IHIA.
A mandatory tool for any major policy.
Any major policy. Fiscal reform, infrastructure, a new zoning plan. And it explicitly measures three factors.
Okay, what are they?
First, stress load generation. Does this policy introduce new unbuffered stress on people or ecosystems?
Second.
Recovery time modification. Does it compress recovery time, like making commutes longer or childcare harder to find? Or does it expand it? And third, intergenerational reserve impact.
Does it spend our children's inheritance of adaptability?
That's it. If a new highway increases short-term throughput but dramatically increases chronic air pollution and noise load on a community.
The IHIA forces you to weigh that biological cost.
Exactly. Financial return alone cannot justify degradation.
That's a huge challenge to political accounting. And speaking of accounting, how does the charter redefine public debt?
Public debt is reinterpreted as biological debt. The accumulated intrinsic health deficit from externalizing all that wear and tear.
And this is where it gets really sharp.
The sharpest edge. Austerity, the classic response to financial debt, is redefined as biological debt acceleration.
Because cutting social protection
forces individuals and communities to carry larger regulatory loads, which just increases the future compounded costs of healthcare, disaster response, and institutional failure.
I can hear the finance ministers now. If our credit rating is tied to our metabolic reserves, how does this change things?
It fundamentally changes the definition of risk. Bond markets now value liquidity and immediate financial stability.
Right.
The IH charter demands that durability becomes the primary measure of solvency. A nation with low financial debt but collapsing intrinsic health is biologically insolvent. It's a higher long-term risk.
To make that work at a budget level, you'd need a new way to categorize every dollar spent.
You do, and that's the Intrinsic Health Budget Classifier, or IHBC. It recodes all public spending based on its biological function.
So you sort spending into three categories.
Three categories. Load amplifying, load buffering, or reserve building expenditure.
Give me a clear example of that spectrum.
Sure. Load amplifying might be, say, funding a high-interest payday loan industry. That immediately increases stress load.
Obvious.
Load buffering is something like subsidized mental health care or affordable public transit. It removes existing friction, reduces the burden.
Okay, and reserve building.
That's investing in next-gen renewable energy or building high-quality public parks that actively foster recovery and resilience. The whole goal of the IHBC is to maximize buffering and building and minimize the amplifying.
You can see right away if the state is funding recovery or accelerating collapse.
It becomes transparent.
Now, this framework is global, but the charter focuses its debut on the Caribbean. Why there?
Because the Caribbean is a compressed, highly stressed ecology. It's a frontline climate stress zone, so they get recurrent high-intensity shocks every year.
High import dependence, too.
Massive instability from that. But crucially, they carry a significant post-colonial load legacy. Historical extraction that depleted local adaptive capacity for generations.
So what fails first in the Caribbean under chronic stress?
Is a preview of what will fail everywhere else at a greater scale. It's a living laboratory of accelerated breakdown.
And these are regional stressors.
Huh.
Hurricanes don't respect borders.
Exactly. You can't solve regional load with purely national policies. That's why the charter calls for a regional framework. The Caribbean Intrinsic Health Covenant.
For what? Recovery pooling.
Recovery pooling, a food, water, and metabolic security union. Things to stabilize the population's energetics and guarantee resources for recovery across the entire region.
So ultimately, the charter offers this final civilizational reframing. It's replacing our abstract economic goals with biological definitions of success.
It replaces financial metrics with adaptive capacity metrics. So freedom is reinterpreted as biological possibility.
The capacity to adapt, recover, and live your full potential.
Unburdened by chronic preventable load. And prosperity is no longer defined by throughput. It's shared adaptive wealth, the preserved capacity of a society to buffer stress.
And most profoundly, health stops being a sector, a department, a line item.
And it becomes the central operating system of civilization itself.
That's the core takeaway.
The ultimate claim is that direct. Civilizational survivability in the 21st century depends not on rates of financial growth, but on the preservation of intrinsic health across all living systems.
And the charter redefines development
as the durable expansion of functional realization without depletion of latent adaptive capacity.
That definition of development raises a powerful, immediate question for you, the listener. Are you, as an individual, in your community, in your nation, prioritizing short-term output? Or are you prioritizing long-term capacity and sustainable recovery?
Now that you have the vocabulary of the intrinsic health impact assessment, try using it. The next time you see a major infrastructure bill or a fiscal reform, or even just a change in your company's policy, don't just ask how much money it generates.
Ask the other questions.
Ask, does this policy increase stress load? Or does it expand recovery time? The answer will tell you immediately whether you're building durable wealth or just accelerating collapse.